to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the report from our St. Philip's Diocesan Convention delegates, Carl Jones, Rad Jones, and Brianne Terzinski, on Sunday, November 19th, 2017.
We have a special presentation now from our parish delegates to Diocesan Convention. Every year we send people off, and then you never really hear about it. So today you're going to hear about it, and I'll set the stage. We are, as an Episcopal church, the duck-billed platypus of the Christian world. We are Catholic in terms of our hierarchy and structure, with bishops, priests, and deacons, and a sort of authoritarian structure in that way. But we are also democratic in the way that we elect our clergy, our bishops, and our delegates who represent us at various conventions. The delegates to diocesan convention approve a great number of things. You'll hear about them from our delegates in just a second. But two of the things I was asked to talk about are the budget. So every year the diocese passes a budget in the same kind of process that we go through in the parish. They look at their revenues, in this case, a tithe from each of the 68 congregations in the diocese supports the budget. And this year it was just around $2.3 million. About a half of that, because we're a church organization, the same kind of percentages, about half of that goes to salaries and benefits for the bishop and the other diocesan staff, some of whom you've met in the last couple of years here, the youth and young adult missioner, the Whitaker director, the Jim Gettle who works on congregational life, all of that goes to that. The other half of the budget is the various programs, and also another tithe of that goes to support the national church, the Episcopal Church, the presiding bishop, and all of the national staff. So when you see things about Michael Curry, our presiding bishop, it is partly the money that you give to this church that is then passed on to the diocese and then on to the national church, which supports our ministry as a national Episcopal church. Along with our payments, we get representative voices. So your delegates at convention approve all sorts of things. Whenever there's an election of a bishop, it is the delegates to diocesan convention who elect the bishop after a short list has been prepared by a search committee. In this congregation, you had a voice through your vestry in the calling of the priest. This is a representative democratic system, despite all of the Catholic trappings. We also have people who represent us in the diocese in various committees. So it's not just the bishop and staff who sit in Detroit and make all the decisions. There are all sorts of committees populated by members of the diocese, clergy and lay. So this past convention, we elected people to the cathedral chapter, which helps support our cathedral down in Detroit. The Commission on Ministry, which oversees the ordination process for those who become deacons and priests. Provincial Synod, which is a gathering of people from our part of the Episcopal Church in the Upper Midwest. The Disciplinary Board, when there are allegations of misconduct against a clergy person, it is a disciplinary board of lay people and clergy who make sure that the proper procedures are followed. A Standing Committee, which we know because we have to get the approval of Standing Committee whenever we want to do anything major to our building, like the Front Porch Project. That has to go through the Standing Committee, and their job is to ensure that all the proper steps have been taken. They also advise the bishop on various other matters. And trustees who oversee the investments of the diocese. In our diocesan budget, something like two-thirds of the budget comes from the pledges from congregations, and about one-third comes from endowments, and the trustees manage those endowments and make sure that they are managed wisely. So I'd like to call upon our delegates to give you a quick rundown on their impressions of convention. And our delegates this year were Carl Jones, Rad Jones, and Brianne Terzinski. Come on up.
I'm Rad Jones, and it was my privilege, along with Carl and Brianna, to attend the 183rd Convention of the Diocese of Michigan. It was held in Novi last part of October. The theme of the convention was Waters of Reconciliation, Turning Again to Christ. Friday, the convention started with two workshops. One was on the United States of Detroit that talked about where Detroit was and where it's going and its religious faith. And also in the afternoon, the storytelling for the diversity and inclusion. And there were workshops that went along and table discussions. Friday afternoon was a business meeting. Some of the items that were discussed during the business meeting, Eric outlined. Friday evening, we attended a dinner and a small sermon followed by the Holy Eucharist. It was very impressive because when you have several hundred people and there's quite a feeling of togetherness on that. On Saturday, the results of the elections were provided, and there was a keynote speech by Reverend Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas. She is the Susan D. Morgan Distinguished Professor of Religion at Goshen College in Baltimore and also a canon at the cathedral. She's considered one of the leaders in the field of women's theology, racial reconciliation, sexuality, and the Black Church. She discussed the state of racism in the world, and if you look at her online, she's written a number of other books that are that I think are worth exploring. Then Bishop Gibbs gave a very positive message. He discussed the current state of the diocese, which in his terms is very good. He also talked on what it was like growing up in Washington, D.C., the opportunities and problems he faced as a Black person, and what changes have occurred in diversity, and how some of these changes really has enabled him to assume the position as bishop in the church. He used himself as an example of changes in the increased acceptance of persons from all races and cultures. He related several experiences that he had. One was being at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. This was the trip that Eric was on to the Holy Land, and thinking, here I am at the wall of prayer, and yet yards away is a wall of separation. And how unfortunate it is that the world remains so divided. Another example was his trip to Alaska, and where they visited a small village. The natives greeted them without exception. There was great hospitality, and giving them a wonderful meal. He felt somewhat humbled by this, knowing that the meals they were preparing was taken away from the food that they would need for the coming winter. They were giving to others, even though they had limited resources. And as any story or any speech that you hear, it kind of brought a personal message to me that when I was in Northwest Washington and had the responsibility to cover Alaska, one of the trips that we went on, I was scheduled to go on, was a trip down to our relocation site in case there was an attack from Anchorage. I wasn't able to make the trip. Two agents went on the trip. One was a pilot, and on the way down, there was terrible weather that they ran into, and they were lost for several days. We didn't know whether they had crashed or what. But then they eventually got in communication with us, and I can remember talking to them when they came out, that the feeling of charity and togetherness that they had, because they, as they landed, some natives from a nearby village came to them and gave them food, and a place to stay in warmth and like that. And it was quite a message, because the Creed of Alaska, I think, is a good one to remember, that when you're out in the wilderness and you come across a cabin and you have an extra can of vegetables or meat, you leave it in the cabin in case someone else later on needs that for their health and well-being. Following the bishop's address, then we broke into workshops and we talked a little bit about what type of church are we now? How are we responding to diversity? How do we counter narratives of anti-diversity? And how does this fit into our whole community? And during that time, I think many of us felt that looking at this church, that we have a very young and we have very old, and we look around, and I think we are moving and making steps toward becoming a diversified congregation. not knowing that there's more work to be done. And then following the presentations bishop's speech, we had presentations from youth groups, related activities. We had one, I think, that was very significant, and that was the importance of college ministry. What is happening in the college? A young person goes to college, first time they've been away from home, and they need that support mechanism, and there were stories about how they found that support in the university, because as Carl will mention, one of the resolutions that came up was a concern for suicide by the part of young women. Now, Carl.
Good morning. I'm Carl Jones. I've been a member of St. Philip's for about 25 years, and generally you'll find me sitting over here in the choir. I love to sing, obviously. But after all these years and a lot of the changes that are going on in the church, both locally and in the larger church, I just felt that it was time to be more involved. And I, you know, part of that is this is my first year on the vestry. And so far it's been a really good experience, I must admit. The other thing that I wanted to do for the first time was to go to the convention for a lot of the reasons that Rad had just mentioned, you know, and I very much enjoyed it. I have been going to conventions for a long time. I'm an SAE engineer, lifetime career. I've been to a lot of automotive conventions. I'm a barbershopper. I go to the barbershop convention twice a year, and it was nothing like this. I felt so welcomed, and, you know, there was so much open information for us to absorb and listen to and take part of, that I would like to go again one of these days, but I would also like to give others the chance to do it and share this positive experience. But at any rate, one of the things that I was really excited about was the resolutions that were discussed in the convention. And I'd like to, you know, bring you up on, you know, what they were. I'm not going to go into much detail, but if you have any questions or you'd like to discuss these, any of the three of us would be glad to talk about these. But, you know, there's a few type of resolutions, and, you know, some affect changes to the Constitution, others are procedural changes, some are policy or budgetary changes. And the wording is generally set up for the resolutions very early, ahead of time. And during the convention, I noticed, and it's probably always this way, that there were modifications to the text, but nothing overly dramatic, just for clarification more than anything else. So I'd like to read these off to you and kind of not really bring you up to speed, but just to talk about them a moment. Resolution number one is a stand against white supremacy. It was resolved that the congregations of the Episcopal Diocese of Michigan decry every form and expression of racism, including alt-right white supremacy, the Ku Klux Klan, Christian identity adherence, white nationalism, neo-Nazism, and as antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be it further that we denounce the repudiate the white supremacy and every form of racial and ethnic hatred as evil in non-compliance with our baptismal vows, to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and to strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being. The second resolution was, sanctuary churches. It was resolved that the Episcopal Diocese of Michigan will support congregations that have committed themselves to provide shelter and sanctuary to people whose immigration status is being litigated. And be it further, that the Episcopal Diocese of Michigan congregations will seek to learn about the meaning of immigration sanctuary and consider their role in this issue. So, and again, you know, one of the topics that's almost out of the headlines, but it does seem to be an American issue. Resolution number three was the call for a humane and just immigration system. It was resolved that the 183rd Convention of the Diocese of Michigan urged congregations to seek information in order to more fully understand the current immigration policies of the United States, the deportation policies affecting adults, children, refugees, and others, as well as the Secure Communities Program of U.S. Immigration and Custom Enforcement. And be it further resolved that Episcopalians urge lawmakers and local officials to commit to the principles of humane immigration enforcement. one of the other resolutions was resolution number 4. This is the call for basic human needs to be met. Resolved that the 183rd Convention of the Diocese of Michigan urge congregations to seek information in order to more fully understand the gospel human obligation and necessary to provide for currently unmet basic human needs for water, food, shelter, health care, for every human being, and be it further resolved that Episcopalians urge lawmakers and other public officials to commit to meeting basic human needs for those things, water, food, shelter, and health care. The last resolution was resolution number 5. This subject was suicide in teenage girls hitting a 40-year high. The Episcopal Diocese of Michigan urges members of the diocese and its congregations and other interested persons to learn and educate others about the increased rate of suicide among teens age 15 to 19 and to become familiar with the many factors that can lead to suicide. Also with that, create an open environment where students are encouraged to discuss their concerns about themselves and others with their parents, teachers, and clergy, knowing that they can reach out to help and that someone will be there to help. That was all the resolutions. There was one more change to one of the canons, and this is the change to canons governing insurance in the diocese. Just briefly, a congregation shall maintain adequate insurance coverage on all of its properties, both real and personal, against hazards and liability and minimum amounts, as may be required by diocesan policy. An inventory of all personal properties and its value should be taken and kept current by a governing body of congregation with a yada, yada, yada. And that was it. Honestly, those were the things that were most interesting to me, just to kind of become more aware of the larger things that are going on around us and that we have also addressed within our own parish here. And with that, you know, I'd like to close my little part of it and say thank you for sending me. It really was a good experience. And so, Brianne?
I'm cold, so I'm keeping my coat on. So, as some of you might remember, I went to a convention last year, and then I was asked to do a stewardship witness speech the next day. And so I ended up changing my speech to incorporate the convention because as much as I had signed up for it not knowing really what it was, I just raised my hand when Dean asked for volunteers. And as it got closer and closer, I started to regret my decision to volunteer for this thing that I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But once I went, it was like so amazing. I was so thankful that I got to go there. And I understand that, you know, let me start over. when you walk in, there will be like booths from all the speakers that will be talking during convention, which is really nice because you might hear different organizations of people and you might want to volunteer for these things. There were seminary schools and different ministries. And this convention was a lot nicer, I thought. There just seemed like the theme was very youthful, and it was very inspiring for me to see younger people get up there, and they were doing the music, and they were talking about the college ministries that Rad and Carl had mentioned. And it was just so inspiring, because we hear all the time that the Episcopal Church is dying, that churches are dying, and all these youthful people were up there singing, and they were serving as acolytes during the Eucharist, and they are our future, and it was just so nice to see them so passionate and so alive in the church, and it ignites a little flame of hope in you when you see that, and it makes you want to get out there and volunteer for all of these amazing ministries that all these people are so a part of, and to be in a room with people that are all Episcopalians and all working together to help the church survive, it's like it gives you that sense of camaraderie, you know, and friendship and love, and it's just a beautiful, wonderful experience, and I highly recommend it. As much as I love it, I probably won't go next year because I really found a lot of myself just going, and I would love to hear somebody else go and have a wonderful experience like I have the past 2 years. So I hope that you'll consider, when we call volunteers, that you'll consider doing this wonderful thing for us. And so that's it. Thank you.
Let's give a hand to our delegates.